Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Jeremiah, or Pastor Jay. I'm so honored to be in your living room or wherever you're watching. Welcome to Luke's Diner, Mosaic House Church Online Campus. Thank you for tuning us in. And the reason I say Luke's Diner is if you've been following along, we've been going through the Gospel of Luke, looking at all the times Jesus is eating with others. It's been a fun time. Have you ever organized a large party with lots of food only to have many of your guests not RSVP? What did you do? Did you go and track them all down and say, oh, you better let me know or else? During my wedding with my wife, Sarah, everything was pre-planned, everything prepared. And then about a week before the wedding, 15 people decided to RSVP, yes, we are coming. And it was stressful, like, oh no, we gotta get more food. So we phoned up the caterer and they were actually shopping that very day and they bought enough people for the 15 extra, enough food for the 15 extra people. But then the 15 people, a couple days later, said, oh yeah, we're gonna bring our kids as well. And we had already told all the other guests that we're not having kids at our wedding, so he said, sorry, they can't come. And then the 15 people said, okay, we won't be able to make it then. And it was too late to let the carers know that we didn't need the extra food. Has it ever happened to you? It was right, you know, I felt frustrated, I was stressed out, but even more, I was a little bit sad because I felt by the way they RSVP'd and handled things, I felt maybe they didn't really care about the wedding. Maybe they didn't really think it was important to them. Like I mentioned, we're doing our series right now, Meals with Jesus, looking through the Gospel of Luke and exploring the way Jesus was always eating with people or leaving meals or going towards meals. And today the title of the message is Meals with Jesus, RSVP Needed. And today we're going to look at the menu of the Gospel of Luke, which of course is the Word of God. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15 all the way to 24. Hear the word of the Lord. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you've ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful image of this feast you're preparing for each one of us. Lord, I guess sometimes in life, it's exciting, it's beautiful, but maybe we don't want to go for some reason. So give us insight into this word, what you want us to hear. And Lord, may you use my small words for your great glory today. We pray this in the wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is what I believe God wants us to know today. And if you have your sermon notes, you can fill this in, or if you haven't got them yet, you can click on the resources tab and grab them. This is the theme and goal. Jesus is asking us to RSVP, for it reveals our highest priority. Now, Jesus has sent out and is sending out invitations to a great feast. And this great feast is a metaphor for the kingdom of God. The time in which God is fully in charge and He has set all things right. Everything is right and good and beautiful in the world. Another way to put it is, the kingdom feast is a metaphor for heaven. Being with, enjoying God and our loved ones for all eternity. And because Jesus came to earth as the true King of creation, because He lived a life which displayed God's gracious and loving reign, because He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and He rose from the dead to overcome the powers of darkness, because of all this, you can write this in your notes, Jesus, God in human form, has made a way for humanity to enter heaven. Jesus brought His kingdom here, and now He's preparing a feast for us. And now all peoples can be saved from sin and death and have a place at the same table of God, our Creator and King. And our Lord Jesus has sent out His invitations to all the ends of the earth, and now He is waiting for our RSVP. What will be our response? Will we say, yes, we're coming, or will we decline? Now, in the time of the Gospel of Luke, in the writing, typically wealthy people who had a great big feast, they would send out two invitations. The first one would be far in advance, so you can get ready and clear your schedule. The second one was because, you know, back in the day, they didn't have a calendar on their phone. It was notified them every 5 minutes on the next party. Because of that, the host would send out a servant again just when the feast is ready. And the servant would go out and remind the guests of the feast and tell them that it is ready, it's time to go. And let me talk to people who maybe aren't followers of Jesus. Seekers, maybe trying to figure this thing out. First, we're so honored that you're here to join us. And let me suggest this to you. God may be sending you an invitation to this feast. Invitation to come and sit at the table with Him, to know Him as He knows you. And maybe He's been sending invitations to you all along. You're here right now, listening to this message, maybe for a reason. Maybe in the past you've met a friend or had a family member who was a follower of Jesus. Maybe you read a book one time, or even picked up a Bible one day and started reading it. Maybe He has been inviting you for many years. Now, this invitation is also for those who are and have been followers of Jesus for a while. This passage is a response to a follower of God saying these words in verse 15, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And throughout this chapter, actually throughout many of the Gospels, Jesus has been challenging religious people who think that they would definitely be in heaven and God's kingdom feast. And Jesus responds to that assumption with this story, and He's basically saying this, wait a minute. If you think you are going to be at the party, maybe think again. Sure, you might get an invite, but will you really say yes? Jesus is asking us to RSVP, for it reveals our highest priority. In the story, Jesus goes on to list three people who RSVP no to the kingdom feast. And in that culture, that would be very disrespectful, especially when the feast is just ready now. And their response reveals that they didn't think that feast was all that important. Their RSVP revealed their highest priority. And Jesus today continues to invite us to His feast to reveal what we truly value, what we truly believe is most important in our life. And in your notes, there's this question for you to consider. Is Jesus and His kingdom your highest priority? The most important thing in your life, or something else more important? For example, and we find this in the story of Luke, is your reputation more important than Jesus? When the servant came a second time to invite the guests again, typically they would also tell the guests who else had RSVP'd, who else was on the guest list. Now in verse 21, we see already who has already confirmed, and maybe even at the party already. It says here, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now, if you remember throughout the series, we've been letting you know that in the ancient culture of this time, eating with someone was very, very important. You only ate with somebody that you would associate with, whom you trusted, whom you seen as an equal. Now, to go to a party with people experiencing poverty, homelessness, people with a disability, people who were seen as the lowest of society during that time was very risky for your reputation. It was thought that these kind of people were cursed by God, that they deserved, there was something, a reason why they were suffering so much, and to associate with them could seriously damage one's reputation. People would start talking about you. Did you hear about that person? He went to that party with those people. And no wonder the excuses of the guests were very true. Didn't make much sense. Shouldn't you go check out the land before you buy it? Can't you take out your oxen for another time? How about you? Is your reputation more important than Jesus? For myself, when I was in junior high, I said I was a follower of Jesus, but I hadn't fully given Jesus the highest priority in my life. And that's because I really cared what people thought about me. I wanted to be accepted by them. I didn't want to be associated with what people called the Bible thumpers, those weird Christians who had no fun over there. So instead of following Jesus, I started partying and doing bad stuff with the cool kids. And during that time, my reputation was more important than Jesus. Another question to consider, we find in the first two RSVPs in the story, is worldly success more important to you than Jesus? Historically, real estate is one of the surest ways to build one's wealth. Not sure about nowadays, but back in the day, it used to be. And also, oxen were a sign of, kind of a status sign of someone's wealth in that ancient time. It'd be like if today someone said, oh, sorry, I can't come to your party. I just got a couple of Teslas. I got to go try them out. Catch you later. Same idea. Now, it's not as if these things, possessions, worldly success, is a bad thing. The problem in the story is that these guests chose worldly success over God's kingdom feast. They held up their worldly possessions as more important, a higher priority than sitting at the table with Jesus and his kingdom. And what's interesting in the story is that it's implied that those who had very little worldly success, those living in poverty and homelessness, those experiencing and living with disabilities, they gladly accepted the invitation. They were just, yeah, sure, I'll come. Because they had so little success in this world, it's easier for them to accept this abundant feast being offered. And inversely, those who have lots of worldly success now and today, it is oftentimes harder for them to enter God's kingdom. Throughout the scriptures, we see this warning against wealth, prosperity in this life. One example I'll just read is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 to 10. It says here, those who want to get rich fall into the temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not money itself, but loving money, putting money at a higher value and priority than God, is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Wow. What about you? What is more important for you? Worldly success or the feast of Jesus? Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you glad to follow Jesus as long as he gives you a comfortable, nice life? What would you do if Jesus asked you to sell all your possessions, give it away to someone experiencing poverty and homelessness, and come and follow him, even if that meant he wouldn't give all those possessions back? That is a hard question for me too. It's especially hard when we're going through pretty difficult economic times. I encourage you to be honest with God before you give an RSVP. Jesus is asking us to RSVP, for it reveals our highest priority. Let me ask one last question. You can write this in your notes. Is there another relationship that is more important to you than Jesus? Now, out of the three, this newlywed probably has the most legitimate excuse. He may be still celebrating his wedding, is a little partied out, and maybe a little broke. Or maybe he is just about to go on his honeymoon. And again, Jesus is not saying that marriage or relationships are a bad thing. He's just posing this question. Who is more important to you? Your spouse, someone else, or me? Just a few verses later, after the story, Jesus says these very, very striking words in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. These are very strong words, and Jesus is probably using a literally device, something like a hyperbole. And the idea is here, hate is not the opposite of love. Rather, it's a lesser degree of love. When you follow Jesus, you pledge to love him above first, above anything and everyone else. And everybody else, you hate. That is, you don't, you know, be mean to them. Oh, I hate you. It's not an emotional thing. That it only means that you love them to a lesser degree. Jesus is first. You love him first. And everybody else, you love secondarily. And in some cases, we may have to give up a relationship when you become a follower of Christ, but not always. Back when I was in high school, Jesus kind of met me and he kind of said, "You, it's time for you to RSVP. You can't be in two worlds at once. You can't say yes to worldly success and yes to me. You got to choose." And by God's grace, I decided, yeah, I'm for you, Lord Jesus. I'm saying yes to you 100%. And when I did that, I had to give up the lifestyle of partying and all that stuff. And because of that, I had to leave some of my friends. And also, I really liked someone who wasn't a follower of Christ. I had to say, no, that's not for me either. And especially now, the persecuted church, many of them have to give up their family for the sake of Jesus. They don't have any choice. So how about you? Who is the most important person in your life? Are you willing to let that person go for the sake of Jesus? Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, and maybe you are sensing his invitation, let me just tell you that Jesus has prepared a special feast just for you. Your favorite food, he's got it for you. However, you must know that following Jesus requires that you make him Lord of your life. That is, he is your highest priority, and what he says goes. And that might and that will cost you something. That may mean giving up your reputation, giving up your dreams of worldly success, giving up a very important relationship. Jesus puts it even more plainly in verse 27 of this chapter. He says, "And whoever does not carry their cross, sacrifice, give even up their own life, and follow me, cannot be my disciple." So if you are hearing God's invitation, before you RSVP, consider the cost. Consider what it costs to follow Christ. And now if you're someone who's thinking, you know, I could never deserve to be part of like a fancy feast. God does not want someone like me. Well, let me tell you that Jesus is nearer to you than you think. He's knocking, he's pounding at the door of your heart, wanting you to come. This feast is especially those who have been rejected by society, rejected by institutional religion. Jesus is inviting the outcast, those experiencing poverty, people with disabilities. In the story, after the three guests decline, the host tells the servant to go even to the outside of the city gates and compel those to come in. The word compel doesn't mean force. It means to kindly persuade people who can't even imagine being invited to a feast like that. In these times, there would be people, outcasts, who weren't even allowed into the city after dark. Those considered dangerous, scary, unclean, not worthy of coming in. And also it would refer to the Gentiles. During this time, the Jewish people couldn't conceive of non-Jewish people, Gentiles, other nations coming into the kingdom of God, coming into his kingdom feast. And the master tells the servant, go, compel them. I don't care if they don't have the right clothes. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're Gentiles. Bring them in. And if you can write this in your notes, if you feel you aren't worthy, you are in good company. None of us are worthy. And that's the point of the story. We're only invited to the feast because Jesus was our reference. Jesus, God made flesh, gave up his reputation. He is called friend of sinner. He gave it worldly success. He was crucified, killed, as almost like a terrorist, and he gave up relationships for the sake of his Father and for the sake of us, our salvation. He died and rose from the dead so that we can be forgiven of our sins and have a place at God's kingdom feast. And we're not there because we were good, because we were doing all the right things. We're only there and have an invitation because of the grace of Jesus who paid it for us. Now, those of you who've been following Jesus for years and years, maybe God is asking for your RSVP again. Like the religious people of Jesus' time, many of us, maybe we're so sure, yeah, we're invited to God's kingdom feast. We're going to be there. We're part of God's kingdom, of course. Maybe Jesus is asking you again, will you come? There are many surprises at the feast of Jesus. Those we for sure we thought was going to be there, they're not there. They're missing. And those we wouldn't even look twice at, they have a seat of honor. When Jesus asks you for that RSVP again, be honest with him. Who or what is your highest priority? Is it Jesus? Is it your reputation? Is it worldly success? Is it another relationship? And the only real way to really discern that, it's good to discern that individually, but the only way to test it out is actually in the community of Jesus. You can write this down in your notes. The community of Jesus now is an appetizer to the kingdom feast to come. Community is where priorities are tested and changed. I love this image of what's called the church, the community of Jesus, is almost like a foretaste, an appetizer to the feast to come. Jesus came down to bring his kingdom here, and his kingdom is here now. In a sense, heaven is here now, the feast is here, but it's not fully here yet. We're almost like an appetizer. The main course is yet to come, and we're still enjoying the appetizer. And this is the place where our priorities are tested and changed. In community, in at Mosaic House Church, we have house churches, we come together, and that's when our priorities are made evident. Someone comes to your house church, and you know, someone you don't really associate with, and you're like, oh, what are people gonna think of me when they hear I'm hanging out with this guy? Or you got a new job or promotion, or you found a new partner you want to spend your life with, and slowly your time with the communion of Jesus gets less and less. What are your priorities? Confess it to Jesus. And what's beautiful about house churches is they let you know, they remind you that you are not better than anyone else at the table. In a sense, we are all the same. Someone you thought was, wow, that guy's posh, that guy must have really great faith. You find out he has the same problems as you. Someone who's, you know, not really educated, I didn't really know much about them, they have tremendous faith. You begin to realize that everybody is welcome at the table. Everybody is equal in that sense. And in community, Jesus through his Holy Spirit empowers us to shift our priorities, to place him first above all else. And I know this is an online campus, so online is not enough. So if you can, find a local church in your area to get connected with. Jesus, he loves you. He is inviting you at his table again, his beautiful feast. He empowers and forgives you to carry his cross as his disciple. Jesus is asking us to RSVP, for it reveals our highest priority. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, if I look in my heart of hearts as I see myself in community, sometimes I'm not sure if you are number one in my life. I have so many worries, so many concerns. So, Lord, I confess, if you have not been first in my life, I repent. I want that to change, Lord. Help me, help all of us place you first, Lord Jesus, above all else. Help us to carry our cross, to give up things in our life, for you have given up everything for us, Lord. And as we do this, Lord, may we, your church, be a foretaste, be like an appetizer, be a tasty spring roll that is intriguing to the world. Help us to show the world what it means to live in your kingdom, what it means to be a true follower of you, Lord. We pray this in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.